that aren't here on Wednesday evenings, our whole Wednesday evening has turned into be nothing but an intercession, worship, prayer, proclamation, legislation, flag waving, shofar blowing time. And it has been wonderful, and we have seen Noelle really, because she leads the worship at that time too, to really start coming into her gifting and things. And wow, I'm just excited. And Tyler, you're probably in the restroom, but I think you can probably hear me because the building's fairly small. God hasn't forgotten you either, even in the restroom. As you know, we have been building relationships with some other churches in our city and other pastors, and just very excited about what God is doing, even in the church leaders, in our lives, as we've been meeting together and praying together and asking the Lord where he's working and where we can join him in our city to see our city transformed and reformed. And I just want to mention a couple things. This summer we have had some four of our churches get together periodically, four or five different times, in our congregations praying together. And one of the things that came out of that, and we are working on, actually Diane is and Bino is going to be working on that, is we're going to come up with a calendar where all of the churches that we're in relationship with can put their events on those things with their needs as well. And we are really going to begin doing even more and more things together, outreach events, even times of going bowling or whatever, to build relationship and fellowship with one another too. It is important that we unify around an event or a program, but true unity isn't developed around an event or a program. You know, you can come together with unbelievers and pull off a program or event. And one of the things, if I could just take a second here, I love programs, I love events, they have their place, but we've just been full of them, you know what I mean? The church has been full of programs and events. And, you know, if programs and events were going to reach our city and change, transform things, I think that probably would have happened by now, if that alone. One of the things we haven't done is really come together interdenominationally with other church congregations and been unified. That's what we haven't done, and that's what the Bible talks about. And when that happened, well, you know, the very first thing happened, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And the church began to grow. And if you look in Acts, the way it started, it was because of the way people were living and preaching out of their lifestyle. It says that God added to their numbers daily those who are being saved. That's one of the things I've never been a part of, quite honestly. I've never been a part of a unifying interdenominationally in this region. So I am extremely happy about that. So we're talking about working together even more than we have been in the past. We're going to put this calendar together. This calendar will be somehow on the web, our internet, where it can be accessed by all the different churches, and we can put our things on there as well. We also have a couple other churches that look like they're going to join whatever it is that we're doing, building unity. We're trying really to stay away from a program, event, or even a name. You know what I mean? Just we're coming together, brothers and sisters in Christ, and praying and seeking the Lord. But I have something for you that's not in our bulletin that we just discussed a couple days ago, and that is, I put it on the Facebook page, and that is Thursday, November 11th, we're going to have our next multi-church prayer kind of service. We're going to do this at Mount Washington Baptist Church over in the Mount Washington area off of Independence Avenue. Those of you who do not know that Pastor Clarence, that was the pastor of Greater New Home Baptist Church, that was part of our unity, that church and Mount Washington merged, and they are now becoming Mount Washington Baptist Church. So that is where we're going to do the prayer service, will be at their new house there. So that's Thursday, November 11th. At 7 o'clock. As I was talking to some of the pastors, you know, we have Halloween coming up really soon, and some of the churches are doing some events for that. And one of the pastors wanted to do something and was talking to me about it. And I said, well, I will just put that out to our church, although it's only, what, 20 days away or so, 21 days away. Actually, I guess it's 3 weeks from today is Halloween. But if you're interested in joining with another church and coming up and doing something to reach the community, if that's just something you really feel from the Lord that you would like to be a part of and do, I don't know exactly what we're talking about yet. He's got some ideas. I had some ideas. Quite honestly, I don't want to lead it and put it all together. But if you want to do, does anybody have any? I'll just ask you to do that now. Does anybody have any interest at all to do something to reach kids or whatever? One of the things I threw out that we possibly could do if people wanted to is, and what we were talking about is maybe like on their church parking lot at Grace Christian Fellowship, and just have some things there for kids to come to that's in the neighborhood. One of the things I told them that we possibly could do if we pull up is do the champion drama. That's an attracting kind of getting all made up and stuff like that kind of a thing. Is I see heads, but nobody really. I know it's only three weeks away, and it's not a lot of planning time, but it probably won't be some really huge kind of a thing, but If you're interested, let me know today, if possible, that at least that you're interested and you want to hear more. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we are really pleased to have Henry and Cindy with us again, and we've got quite a relationship with them. We love them very much, and would you continue to put your hands together as they come, or Cindy comes, or Henry comes, or whatever? Our missionaries to Honduras. Hallelujah.
I think I'm the MC this morning because I really want my wife to share her heart. And no, my wife is prophetic. She says she's not prophetic, but I can testify she is, because when we left the hotel this morning, she said, "Now don't get lost." And the interesting thing about that is I've got this little box in the car, and you know, it's nothing like having two women in your life telling you what to do. And I've got this little box in my car that tells me where I'm supposed to go. Now, usually she's pretty kind about it. And turn right, turn left, stay on this. For some reason, I need to just turn it off and put it away, because I'm invariably going to get on the wrong track. And so I'm driving down a road here on 435, is that right? Coming out of Olathe. We were coming from Olathe this morning. And she says, keep to the left, keep to the left, turn to the right, go forward, straight, whatever it is. And then the dreaded words come on. There's words in your life that are dreaded. When someone says it, you know you've done something wrong. Recalculating. And she says it over and over and over again until I finally get back on the right track. But the good thing is, that's kind of analogous to our life in Christ. Because, you know, I would like to be perfect. I'm sure my wife would love me to be perfect, but I'm not. But we have hope. We have hope in Christ. Amen. That he will forgive us our sins. And so we have this hope that it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters a lot to God that we stay on the right track. But the good thing is, the grace is available, that when we get off to the right or off to the left, it's not like the end of the road. It's perseverance. Keep trying, keep attempting, and hear his voice. And if we will follow what the little box says, we'll eventually get to our destination. Now, it may take us 4 minutes longer than it originally calculated, but we're eventually going to get there, and that's the grace of God, that he's not so concerned with our perfectness. He's much more concerned about our listening to his voice and staying on track. Amen. I want my wife to come on up here, and she's then I'm going to give you a couple commercials. I'm going to talk a little bit, hopefully after she's finished, about some things. But I do not have enough words and enough time in a Sunday morning to explain all that God is doing around us in Honduras. But I do have some publications I want you guys to pick up as you leave. Now, if you are on our mailing list, you probably already have received these. But they're very, very important documents, okay? This is a brochure we put out last year that has a cover story to it, but it really has a lot of information about the different dimensions of Mercy International. I really want everyone here to understand all that we're involved in, because we normally can only talk about one of those dimensions when we speak. So make sure on the table out there you pick up one of these. It's called I Don't Need Your Prayer. It's one of the most important articles I've written in the last couple of years, so I want you to read that article if you have not already, and then take that home with you and really pray over the five faces of Mercy International. We need your prayers. This one's just coming out. If you're on our mailing list, you'll get this in the mail this this week probably. If you're not on our mailing list, please pick this up. This is the banner. This is a banner over Mercy International. This is what we're about. This is our DNA, and I want everyone here to understand what we're about. And what we are about is training missionaries in Latin America to go into the 1040 window. So this publication highlights four missionaries that are right now already have passed the program. They're already finished, and they're sitting on the launching pad to go. We've got the front cover here. This young man's name is Carlos. And if you, I don't know if he was there a couple years ago or not. I think he's only been with us 2 years, but he is ready to roll. On the inside cover here, most of you know these guys. This is Belky and Floor. And if you don't know them, I want you to get to know them through their story. Here's their story right here. And everybody here knows Jose. Jose has been working in Bangladesh for 10 years. But he's at not a crisis point, but a very, very difficult time in his life. Because of the financial global depression or recession that we're all going through, Mercy International has supported him to a huge amount over the last several years. He also has personal support. But because the limited funds coming into Mercy International, he's having to raise a greater percentage of his personal support that we can no longer cover. We'll continue to cover him about $200 a month, but he needs about $600 more to go back to Bangladesh. Now, it's one thing trying to launch yourself into the mission field, but it's another thing that after you've been there for 10 years, find the difficulty that he's finding right now in raising support. And I understand that because of the disconnect between the U.S. and Honduras. You guys support us because you know us. There are so many people that he is worthy of support, but because they don't know him because he's from Honduras, it's even more difficult for him to raise support. I'm not asking you to give more. God knows that we are so grateful for what this church does for us. But I do ask you, since this is a praying church, that you pray that God will open the doors of the funding that he needs, because he's been sitting in the States for 6 months now looking for support, 10 years in Bangladesh, and the ministry there is just exploding. He needs to get back. So pray for Jose that he will be able to raise the support so he can return to Bangladesh, okay? And this is his most recent newsletter right here. And I'm going to let my wife talk about this one, okay?
Joe, you made me laugh when you said you thought that maybe you could do the champion for Halloween. I don't know if you remember, but probably most of you don't even know this story. But Joe came, I think it was his first trip to Honduras, and they had put together this amazing, amazing drama. And we were in Tegucigalpa, and we took, to the Carmen song. And we took Joe and the team into this school, and we have, in Honduras, did you know you can preach the gospel and do altar calls in public schools? In fact, the government says that they can't deny us access to go into the schools and preach the gospel. So, and it's still that way today. But anyway, we went into the school, they released classes, we had the whole, probably 700 students. Yeah, sitting out there, and it was powerful. It was so, that drama was amazing, and it ends up with, and Jesus is our champion, and then it just goes silent, and it just leaves you. And so I ran out in front of the whole student body, and I said, and who is our champion? And they all just looked at me. And I said, come on, come on, who's our champion? And they all just looked at me. And I said, Jesus, Jesus is our champion. Come on, let's give him a hand. And they all kind of started clapping. And I thought, what on earth? That was powerful. The anointing was there. What in the world? And this young lady walked up to me and she said, Miss Cindy, I'm pretty sure that where I was speaking Spanish to these 700 students, she said, I'm pretty sure that that's not the word for champion. I'm pretty sure that the word you just said is mushroom. So I ran out and said, who is our mushroom? And they all looked at me and I said, come on, Jesus is our mushroom. Let's give him a hand. So I've had people threaten to paint on our bus, you know, Mercy International, where Jesus is our mushroom, things like that. Anyway, I encourage you not to let me translate for you when you come to Honduras. I told Joe when I walked up here that everything that's gone on in the service this morning is exactly what God was doing, has been doing in my heart, and what he was doing in my heart this morning on the way here. So I wasn't paying attention to the GPS, except I vaguely remember her distinctly saying, stay left, and watching my husband stay right. And so anyway, but I was reading this again this morning. I have been in a study on Revelation that is changing my life. And so on the way here, I was reading through it thinking, well, that's odd. Why would I be reading? I'm going to be sharing about Honduras. Why am I reading Revelation? But I really feel like that, first of all, I'm going to encourage you to read Revelation. We are in some hard times, and it is so easy to get discouraged. I mean, I read on the news this morning that this man walked in a restaurant yesterday and stabbed an 8-year-old boy 5 times and walked out. And to their knowledge, the man has never seen that child before. They've never seen the man before. They have no idea why he walked in. We are in some hard times. And you watch the news and, man, you can get discouraged. And the jobless rate, I'm like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. When you're dependent on support, you can get pretty discouraged. Read Revelation, because it's the end of the story. And the end of the story, the last chapter is, we are triumphant. The church is triumphant. But it's given me such an amazing picture of how tremendously big God is. And so read past the letters to the churches. That's where I kind of get bogged down, because I'm thinking, oh, I wonder which one of those churches is me. Am I the one he's going to spew out of his mouth? And I don't go forward. When I'm reading Revelation, I kind of stop there and get bogged down. But when he describes what it looks like, and I just read it and try to write it out. I mean, they had us, you know, map it all out and have the throne and the angels around and the other thrones and all these things. And it's just amazing. I love Revelation 4, Revelation 5, where they're describing in detail. It's incredible. God is big. And right in front of him, stretched out in front of him, is a sea of glass. Amen. And you know what that sea is? I feel like this is for somebody this morning. That sea is that sea of forgetfulness. That when I say, I blew it, Jesus, I blew it again. I can't believe I did that again. I've been with you for over 30 years and I did it again. Forgive me. And he goes, and he throws that sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Right in front of him, he just tosses it in there and it's gone. And he doesn't remember it anymore. I feel like there's somebody in here that's been deep sea fishing. And I just want to tell you that your past is the past.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. You are forgiven. You have your whole future ahead of you. Don't waste any more time deep sea fishing. It's over. It's over. I want to go to verse 8, Revelation 5, verse 8. It says, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And it's that scroll that they were all weeping, saying, no one is worthy to open the scroll. But then Jesus came forward. Each one had a harp, and they're talking about the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense. And what is that incense? Which are the prayers of the saints. And I feel like there's someone in here that needs to know that in that throne room that is so big and so engulfed with our God, before him are golden bowls of incense that are the prayers of the saints. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lost daddy. And I have prayed and prayed and prayed with not much faith for that man. But my prayers are not unheard. They're going ever before him like incense. And so are yours. So don't give up hope. He hears you. He hears you. He hears you. And they sang a new song. Noel, a new song that you were singing this morning. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my word, Lord. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased men for God from every tribe, from every language, from every people, and every nation. There are men and women in Independence, Missouri, that have been purchased by the very blood of Jesus. And your task is to find those people. But there are also people in every other tribe and every nation. And I'm going to tell you, we work in the Opa-locka Mountains in Honduras, where a few years ago there were 80,000 Lenca Indian people that were totally and completely unreached. Not one church, not one Christian, and not one single missionary. Nobody was going. And churches in the area, just hours away from there, when we asked them, are you going? They said, no, God hadn't told us to go. And I remember the awful words of my husband when he said, oh, yes, he did. And if you won't go reach them, I will. And I had no idea that that was going to translate into hauling me up in the middle of nowhere in a house with no electricity, no running water, all of that. But we have now planted a work. Many works. And God, this year, we've built two this year, one the year before, church buildings in villages in those mountains. And that's amazing. And that doesn't mean we're not near as excited about the buildings as we are about the congregations that are meeting in those places. I want to go back to, and I hope you guys will pick this newsletter up. There's a young man named Carlos that came to us just a couple of years ago, has an incredible testimony of how God saved him out of gangs and just the work that God's done in his life. And he's been with us, and he's known there's a call in his life, but he hadn't been sure where. He hasn't been sure what he would do. He's just been praying and training with us. He is by far, hands down, the most awesome intern that we've ever had working with us. You guys, if you don't know him, you need to come meet this guy. He is a fireball. He's amazing, and he's the real deal. He's been working. God's given him such a heart for those Indians up in that mountain. And so he's gone and been working up in there. But an interesting thing, I also want to tell you that God will not waste one thing in your life. All the things that I did when I was young, all the things I did when I was growing up, all the things I did in high school, drama. I mean, I was the drama queen. Not just my personality, but doing dramas in school and stuff. God has used that in my life, the speech classes and all of that. God has he doesn't waste anything, and he won't waste anything if you'll give your heart to the Lord. Young men, right there, you three, I was watching you. I was watching you. God is doing something in your generation. I met with a girl just a couple of days ago. I'm kind of off on a rabbit trail here. I met a young girl, a young lady that is working with Fellowship of Christian Athletes on the campus of the University of Arkansas. And the Razorbacks did win yesterday, by the way. That's important to us. And I said, Dana, how's it going? She's brand new on campus working with this organization. I said, hey, how's it going? She said, never in our history has it been this easy? She said, for years, Campus Crusade for Christ, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, all of those student ministries have had to beat the bushes for people to disciple. She said, they are so hungry for the word. And she said, they are serious. There is a church close to the University of Arkansas that's running over 700 college students coming to their church. But you know why they go to that church? Because the DNA of that church is missions. They're a missionary sending church. And the college kids are saying, man, we don't want to mess around. We're ready to lay our lives down for the sake of the gospel. So some of you are called to find those men and women purchased by the blood of Jesus right here in Independence. But some of you, God has called to go to the nations. And I just want to tell you, older people from my generation, it's not too late. But I want to tell you also that right behind us, God is raising up an army of younger believers that are going to go. But it's not too late for you to go. And so if God has put that on your heart, man, you need to take the first steps. You need to go on a missions trip. And you families with children, do not be afraid to take your children. Young men, I just want to tell you, you've got your whole lives in front of you. We met with a couple the other night in their late 50s, and they said, we've done our thing. We've earned money. We've done our thing. And we're looking ahead at the years we have left, and we just want to do something significant. You guys can start right now and be a part of a significant work on the earth. Don't waste it. Life is precious. Don't waste it. If you're feeling that call to do whatever, obey that voice. Carlos, he had no idea what he was going to do. And he started going up in there. God hadn't wasted one thing. He was a soccer player, and a very good soccer player on a track to be able to go and play soccer professionally on the national level. And he injured his knee. And that was that. It was over. But up in those villages of those Lenca Indian people, Carlos, you know that there's not a Honduran anywhere that doesn't love soccer. And even those little Indian people that are about this tall, they can't organize and do anything else up there, but they've got an organized league in those villages where they have to hike 2 or 3 hours to get to the next village. And that would wear me out and that'd be done. But they go there and they play soccer against each other. They have this league. Well, there's a village we've been working in and called Agua Caliente, and they have their little organized soccer team, but they've never won a game. Never. So Carlos was talking with them one day. They found out Carlos has played soccer. And so Carlos started sharing with them, well, maybe you could try this and maybe you could try that. And they were, wow. And they said, Carlos, would you just come to practice this afternoon and help us do some things? And Carlos said, yeah, I would, on one condition. And they said, what? And they said, would you give me 15 minutes before practice to just sit down with your team? And they said, absolutely. So Carlos sat down, opened the Word of God, shared the Word of God with them, and then they went on to their soccer practice. He did that a couple of times, and then he went with them to their game. And the Lord opened the door for him to sit down with both teams and share out of the Word. And then they played their game, and guess what? The Agua Caliente team won their first game, and they are winning. Well, all of a sudden, God started speaking that to Carlos. And now he's opening doors for Carlos to go away and be trained to become a FIFA trainer, soccer trainer. in Muslim nations. God doesn't waste anything. Is that not amazing? I'm telling you. I also want to tell you that for years and years and years, one day I had a young man working. He was working for us picking coffee, and I asked him if he was ready for school, and he said, I can't go to school. My parents can't afford to send me to school. And I saw that this young man had something, and I said, Mundo, if I paid for you to go to school, would you study and do good? And he said, yes, ma'am. So I helped Mundo go to school. By the end of the year, I was helping four kids go to school. You guys have probably heard this story. I don't want to bore you, but I want to tell you this is exciting things. The next year, I had 17 kids. The year after that, I had 35 kids. And on an average, over the last 7-8 years, I've gotten people in the United States to help me sponsor students to go to school. We've had 50 kids a year going to high school. In 2011, my first two young ladies that started with me in seventh grade will graduate from college. From college. Now, never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be helping kids to go to college, but I've got seven in college right now as we speak, seven students full-time. One's going to be a doctor. One's going to be a lawyer. I've got one that's graduating is going to be a pharmacist. These are kids that came out of shacks whose my girl students, not one of their mothers ever went to first grade. And this is changing not only these young people's lives, but it's changing their whole families for generations. It is so exciting. But I've had this burden for not just the kids, but for the mothers, the women in Honduras. They don't get married. A young man walks by their house when they're about 12 and says, hey, cutie pie, I see you can make tortillas and wash clothes pretty good, so why don't you come to my house and make tortillas for me? So this little 12, 13-year-old girl goes off with this guy and goes to his house and starts making tortillas for him and washing his clothes, and pretty soon she's having babies, and they've started sort of a family, but they never get married. A couple of years later, he's kind of tired of her. He sees some other little girl washing clothes and making tortillas out in her front yard, so he just starts a new household, invites that young lady to come, so she's washing clothes for him and making tortillas, and then she starts having babies, and then it just happens. I mean, most of the people in the village where we live, the men have 3 or 4 or 5 different households. And the women who are uneducated and have no jobs have these little children running around, and they can't feed them. So when the daddy of those children does eeny, meeny, miny, moe, which house am I going to spend the night in tonight, when he comes back, she has no choice but to let him in because he brings food for her children. Well, I don't know about you, but in my mind, that's prostitution. And I've had such a burden for years. God, these women, even when they give their hearts to the Lord, they can't get out of that. There's got to be something they can do to earn money, not to make them wealthy, but to give them the ability to say, you know what? You left me for another. I don't need your money or your food for my children. I can take care of myself. And I've prayed and I've prayed, and there's been some little things that have happened. But one, we had a young lady, Damaris, and I've supported her to go to school for several years. And one day her mother came to the gate. She said, I just wanted to say hello and give you this gift. And I said, well, that's interesting. It's this little basket. I said, what is that? She said, well, it's a basket. And I said, I know, but what is that? And she said, well, it's pine needles. I said, pine needles? And I'm looking, and she's wound this string around these pine needles and made this absolutely beautiful basket. And I said, Louisa, I'm pretty sure that when I have teens that come in from the United States, I've got some ladies that would be interested in those baskets. Could you make some more? She said, sure. And I said, Louisa, could you teach other women how to do that? She said, absolutely. So we got other students' mothers to come. And she sat down with them and started teaching them how to make these baskets. Floor, one of our little rebellious girls who was training to be a missionary, I said, Floor, you need to start sitting with those ladies making the baskets. She said, I don't want to do that. That's boring, sitting around all day making a basket. I said, Floor. Floor started opening the Word. And during basket making time, she started sharing the Word of the Lord with these women. And pretty soon, I mean, one day she came up there. She said, you've got to come. You've got to come right now. They're all crying. I said, they're all crying. What did you do? And I went in there, and all these women are weeping around the table. I said, Floor, what did you do? She said, well, I was reading out of this book. It's a T.D. Jakes book. It's called Woman, Thou Art Loosed. And it's talking about the chains of your past falling off. And she said, I was just reading out of this book, and they all started crying. I don't know what to do. I said, finish it up, honey. Give the altar call. One by one, those women started coming to Christ. The last woman was Louisa, the teacher of the baskets. And finally, one day, Floor called me, and she said, come down here. And I went, and she said, Louisa's got something to tell you. And Louisa told me, she said, today, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he has completely and totally transformed that woman's life. And she just weeps and weeps and weeps. This is the exciting thing. What we pay those women for a basket. Now, we've started a whole business, the pine needle basket business in Honduras. And we're bringing baskets back. I wish I had one to show you, but I sell every stinking basket I can get here. What we pay a woman to make a basket, and it takes her about 2.5 days to make an average size basket, what we pay her will feed her family for a week. And it's changing their lives. And so our website is going to have them. I promise you, when I come next time, you can have them. But what's selling those baskets is when I tell women here in the United States that the purchase of that basket is feeding a family and releasing that woman and giving her the power to say, I'm not going to live like that anymore, which I believe will change the nation of Honduras. So we're going to have our website up and running, and you guys can order them online, or I'll bring some to you. But I just want to encourage you that God is not wasting one thing. He will not waste one thing if you will give your lives totally and completely to him. He won't waste one thing. Amen? You ready? Connect the dots. Which dots?
Recalculating.
Louisa? Okay. There's a young lady named Dunya. Those of you who've been to Honduras have met Dunya. Dunya is from one of those families. Actually, her parents were married through our ministry. And a couple of years ago, her dad kind of went off the deep end and started majorly abusing the mother and the children. They've had 10 children together. And it's a desperate, desperate situation. And this young lady, Dunya, has been one of our translators and has been, you know, become more and more a part of our ministry. And so a couple of years ago, I told a family in the United States, I said, the only way that we can, you know, help that family is to be able to get the mother and those children out of that house, because the house belongs to the man. And so, long story short, we had a team coming from our church in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and right about just 3 days before they were to leave, they took up an offering, and to our surprise, we get a call, and they said, we've got $10,000 to build that family a new house. Well, they're coming in 3 days, and we're like, Lord, help us. What in the world are we going to do? We don't have property. We don't have the supplies together, but we can get the supplies together, but we don't have property. So we started asking around, and there was just no way you can get the paperwork done and be the owners of property and build a house on it in 3 days. So we started asking around. Longer story short, we found out that Louisa, the basket lady, had property that had been given to her, left to her by her father. Now, she lives in a home in town, in the center of town, but she had this property out there. And so she came to us and said, I hear you're looking for property. Yeah, just property. No electricity on it, no water, nothing, just this property. So we went up and looked. It was perfect, beautiful, beautiful property. And we were able to purchase from her privately that property and get the paperwork done legally so that it was ours in 24 hours. And the church came, the church group came, and we were able to get that house up. We've now gotten the roof on it. Now they're getting the water hooked up to it, and that family will be moving into that house. Yeah. Louisa came to us the day that the team was finishing up the house, and she said, I've been praying because I'm in debt to the house that I'm living in town, and they're calling in the note, and I didn't have the money to pay it. And then I heard that you were looking for property. So the money that you paid me for the property, I was able to pay off my property. And she wept and said, God has done so much for me. It is just incredible. He doesn't waste anything, not one thing. And we're just so excited to see the next step. It's just amazing. So be in prayer for us and those little basket ladies who now come together all the time and have Bible studies together. And we're selling so many baskets that we have to open up and bring in more women to be trained. And the exciting thing is we know every single one of them. They'll all be weeping around the table before I know it. And I'll have to go and lead them all. I mean, finish it up. I keep telling Floor, if you're going to go fishing, honey, reel it in. So anyway, you ready? I think you've got 2 seconds left to share.
Like I said, there's just too much going on to share in one service, and that's fine with us. We just want you to be as excited about what's going on in Mercy as we are. You are a part of us. You have been to Honduras yourselves. You support us monthly, and you pray for us, which is probably the most important thing. Continue to pray. There's lots of areas that need prayer. Now, just a couple things that I'll try to dot the I's now. All those women that work in the basket business, those are Lincoln women as well. Yamanagila, where our farm is in the middle of the Lincoln Territory. We do travel 2 hours to the more remote villages, but all around us, north, south, east, and west, is all Lincoln Indians. And I tell you this, the church there, they're in bondage. Not all of them, but in a lot of ways, they're in bondage to prejudice. They're in bondage to their ideas, to a religious system that doesn't really reach out to the lost. Conformity. One of our students came to us weeping one day, saying that she's damned to hell. I said, what happened? What did you do? She says, I went to school, and there was a seventh grade party at the school. This is a school thing. And one of her friends pulled her onto the dance floor, and they were dancing. They weren't dancing arm in arm with a boy, they were just out moving their bodies to some music. And three teachers in that school attend a certain church in town. They called the pastor immediately saying, so-and-so's dancing. That pastor called the mother, and they got together, and she said, you have committed a terrible, terrible sin. The mother came to us and said, what do I do? My daughter's ruined. Now, I know y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about? But this is the culture. Not only was she rejected because she just danced for 3 minutes on the dance floor in a school function. Imagine these women spending their lives sleeping with men to feed their children. You think they're going to be accepted in the church? The only reason is because we have accepted them. We told them that grace is free. Grace is free, and it's for you. So those same things that are going on in the mountains. You just have to get the brochure, and this doesn't tell you the stories. It just tells you, it gives you the overview of what's going on. We believe in prayer. We believe in hearing God and following His lead. We didn't go to Honduras. We went to Honduras with the idea of training missionaries, but we really didn't know exactly how that was going to look. And I think if we've done anything right over the years, it's just that we have not been locked into, it's got to look this way. If it doesn't look this way, it's not what we want. But we've allowed the Lord to direct our path. We've allowed the Lord to usher us into areas that we really had not anticipated. But we haven't shrunk back. We said, this is an opportunity. And all we're doing is looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And that requires us to pay a student $350 or $400 for a scholarship so that we can speak into their lives weekly. We will do that. If it requires us to drive 2 hours and hike 4 hours to get into a village and to hand out food so we have an audience, we'll do that. Actually, what's worked best up in the mountains is a soccer game, believe it or not. We stopped trying to have services in the town center because no one comes to them. But everyone goes to soccer games. So Carlos is not just speaking to the soccer teams. The entire village comes out for it. And we have found more success in preaching the gospel at the soccer games than anything else we've done before. We've done dramas. We've done medical clinics. We've done food giveaways and clothing giveaways. The most effective thing we found this year, we found it this year, was going to the soccer games. And not only to the five villages we've worked in, because there's 12 villages we haven't even been to yet. But they all have soccer teams. And so Carlos is traveling with his Agua Caliente soccer team to villages we have not even been to yet. If you just are willing to step out of the box and do things a little bit differently, it's amazing where God will take you. But ultimately is to reach people for Christ and to teach others to reach people for Christ. So continue to pray for us. Thank you for, I love listening to my wife. When she gets up and speaks, I just love, I'll never get bored with her. And so it's a blessing. And I hope no one took offense at what I said before about having two women tell me what to do. If us guys will listen to our women more, we will be saying I'm sorry less. And I believe that too. She is absolutely the best thing that's ever happened to my life and to this ministry. She is the energy behind 80, 90% of what we do. I would never started helping kids go to school. And I fought the basket thing. We have actually been talking about that for 3 years. And I fought. I thought, no one's interested in baskets. Okay, if I just listen to that voice that says, stay to the left. Stay to the left. We will get to our destination just 5 minutes sooner, right? Amen. Pastor Joe, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
So much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I don't ever get bored listening to Cindy either. Hey, I forgot to mention, we were talking about the pastors and the unity thing, and then I'll let you go real quick. One of the things I forgot to mention is I had approached them. Several of the churches have no really missions program going on at all, and people from their church have never been on a short-term mission trip. When we went to Haiti this last year, and while we were preparing for that, and we were also getting together with other churches, they heard about it, and lots of interest. So anyway, I approached the pastors about putting a trip together that would be from several different churches that we would come together and develop a team. They're all for it, and I've started doing some preliminary work on that as well. So maybe next year it'll probably be to Haiti to do that. But also I wanted to say something, Cindy. When you were talking about soccer, and especially for these boys here. Look at Tyler. Go ahead and somebody tell them what you do, what you like doing. All three of them are soccer players, and they're not just soccer players. They're very good soccer players. So, not to put you on the spot, but how would you like to go to Honduras, Ricardo's home country, to connect with some soccer players to spread the gospel? I mean, that's just incredible. One of the reasons That's awesome. He's going to take your cover your airfare. I mean, how? Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's incredible. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yeah, that would be fine. If you would like to give specifically for Mercy International, Henry and Cindy, you can, if it's a check, just make it out to the church, put it in an envelope, and put just Mercy on it, and we'll make sure it gets to them as well, okay? If it's cash, do the same thing. Just put it in an envelope and write Mercy on it. And there's envelopes in all four baskets, two behind the back row and two up here. Okay? Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that I hope you heard this as well, too, from them is how involved they are in transforming nations. We've talked a lot about the Seven Mountains of Society, and I didn't know about the Carlos thing, but Carlos is, I mean, it's just like, wow, going into the sports and the entertainment mountain. To reach the lost in that mountain. And that's where these are some things we really need to, as a church, change the way we think. You know, I've said this for years, God doesn't need you to work to take care of you. He needs you to be in jobs to get you where people are that are lost. He needs to put you light in dark places. I mean, God's more than capable of taking care of us. I mean, he created the whole earth. He can feed us, he can clothe us, you know. We don't have to have a job to do that. I like how, well, I love when I say that because I just sense how that hits people. But anyway, thank God we can have a job and he does that and things. But anyway, just that transformation and they're a ministry. Of course, we've had a relationship for so long that we can get behind in our prayer and our financial giving. And also, I think it's been 4 years since we've been down there. Yeah, it's been a while, and that we can reconnect. One of the things I'm really hoping too, and I'll just say this out loud in front of, is as we're working with these other churches and developing these things, that these other churches really get hooked in, and we can start doing multiple trips because of the amount of people and sending them your way and wherever people. I mean, I know your parents are here, but I'd love to see them get involved in stuff like that, but. Anyway, thank you so much. Would you all stand, please? And can we just